A very good evening to you. This is the SAFM Market Update with MoneyWeb, hosted by me, Ropua Madzena, for the week. Busy show that we've got coming up today. So we'll be taking a look at the economic data that's come out this afternoon. That's inflation numbers falling to a 9-year low and retail sales up marginally to around 0.3%. We're also going to be having an interesting conversation about what the private sector can do to fight corruption. That's right, corruption is not only in the public sector, it is rife in the private sector. And coming up at the top of my mind, I think of the likes of Glencore allegations, what we saw with Steinhoff in 2017, and many other instances that have come up. So we'll be talking about how to fight the corruption in the private sector. And then if you're an entrepreneur, you're definitely going to be wanting to listen to this particular conversation. We're going to be talking to Arnold February, who's the regional investment manager at Business Partners, about how businesses can get ready for the festive season. Now, despite the load shedding as well as the depressed economy, the peak time of the year is an opportunity for businesses to optimize on consumer spending and increase their profits rather for the period. And of course, we will have our executive lounge conversation, one of the top podcasts for the year that we had on the MoneyWeb radio. But before we get into all of that, let's have a conversation about how the markets wrapped up the day today. And joining me for this discussion is Wayne McCurry, who's a senior portfolio manager at F&B Wealth and Investment. Wayne, many thanks for your time this evening. Let's perhaps start with the overall performance on the markets today.
Well, the market was up about 0.3-0.4%, and it was really right over the whole board. All the sectors were up, but gold shares were up the most, about 3%. The rest were just marginally positive, so certainly driven strongly by gold shares today. The rand actually strengthened a little bit, about 1477, so sort of no real disaster immediately apparent in the rand today. But it was a relatively quiet day today on the market.
Yeah, let's take a look at some company news that we saw coming out today. So Tongaat, which came out with results yesterday, gave an update today on the lifting of its JSC suspension. What were some of the salient features that you picked up from that particular announcement?
Yeah, well, look, we all know that the disaster at Tongaat, I mean, the share price before it was suspended was down 95-96%. They've written off 12 billion rand, and the company has a negative net asset value. So the sum total of the company's worth is negative after all the write-offs. So what they've said is, right, we will lift the suspension when we publish our six-month set of results. So they published their March results. They're now going to publish their September results. And the reason why they said it is, you know, we want the market to fully understand the actual underlying trading of the company, because even in their March results, the actual operations, the things that are working, the numbers that weren't fiddled, actually generated decent cash flows. It actually looked reasonably okay, the underlying operations. So they obviously, that positive trend more than likely has continued, and they want to put some good news out there before they lift the suspension. But we all know they're doing a massive rights issue. And to do a rights issue at this share price just tells you exactly what the deep problems are in the company.
Yeah, and I mean, you mentioning that after they relist on the JSE, what do you make of the company's outlook in terms of appetite?
Well, look, the operations they've got, the Zimbabwean ones, unfortunately, will remain a problem. But they've got sugar, and they've got some other starches, and they've got property. And there is a tangible net asset value to these once they recapitalize the business. And, of course, the rights issue will be done at a massive discount to whatever share price that they come back from when they start trading again. And then shareholders are literally almost forced to take up the rights issue and recapitalize the company. However, the underlying business, before all the funnies started, before all the property funnies and all the asset revalue funnies, in this company's been around forever, and it has got, as I said earlier on, operating units underneath it that actually are working, that are generating positive cash flow. So, you know, I sincerely hope for everyone involved, all the employees and anything, that the company can actually through all of this, they have said that they've renegotiated their banking facilities in South Africa, but obviously they're under severe financial strain there.
Yeah. Another company that's also in a bit of a knot is Taste Holdings. They're releasing their trading statement today. And just a reminder to our listeners that they're really going to be focusing on their luxury goods business, getting rid of the food, Maxi's, Fish and Chips Co., as well as Starbucks. What did you make of what they said in that statement this afternoon?
Well, look, I mean, the statement just said we're still making a loss, but it's a smaller loss than what we used to make. Look, the food business, clearly they went in totally and utterly over their heads with Starbucks, and wasn't it Domino's, and didn't they also have a donut one as well that they've already sold? But now they've sold all their foods, and now they Mattel Wholesale Jewelers and watches, I think. So they're going totally into the luxury side, which, you know, it's a reasonable business, but you need economic growth for that business to be successful. And the amount of money that they've spent in the food business, I mean, it is truly astonishing. And I've spoken to quite a few people in that sort of a convenience food type of arena, and they say these big franchise operations where you bring in the big name from overseas is phenomenally expensive, and you face very stiff, well-entrenched, well-established domestic competition here. So to be honest, and hindsight's the best science ever, you know, you just wonder, what were you thinking trying to bring something like Starbucks into South Africa in a fairly dismal economy with incredibly stiff local competition that's been established here forever? So obviously they've now sold all of that and they're going for their local brands, Arthur Kaplan, etc.
And I mean, just based on what you said in terms of the stiff competition domestically, would that be the only reason that U.S. Food and beverage franchises just don't work in South Africa?
It's one of the big reasons. Look, you can't say they don't work. Let's look at the new entrants. McDonald's is, but they didn't take over the market. We've got Steers, we've got the Spur, we've got well-entrenched competition there. So although there are plenty of McDonald's, they haven't swamped the market and taken it over. KFC's always been here, so that's not a new brand that's come in. But that's about it, eh? You know, certainly Starbucks didn't work. Burger King, they're struggling. They might succeed, but they're struggling. They also haven't taken over the whole market. So I think it is one of the main reasons. South Africans like their own domestic brands and the things that we used to. And you know, despite all the hype about big American consumer goods companies coming here, you know, our local competitors in this market are actually quite jacked up, and they serve a good product at a competitive price. So it's not just, you know, sometimes when Americans come to another country, they think it's easy picking. They know how to do it. You know, our fast food side is a lot more sophisticated than many other countries they're coming to.
A different sector now, Wayne. Metair citing some production challenges in its production update, but they are also saying that the long-term outlook in South Africa is positive. Now, I had a little bit of a giggle when I read that, because you'll remember that you were very vocal about our Stage 4 load shedding that we saw last week and the dismal operational mismanagement at Eskom. So companies like Metair that rely on power to operate, saying that they've got a positive long-term outlook, surely there should be some skepticism there from their side anyway.
You know, skepticism is always justified. I'm still positive about South Africa. I truly believe our problems are solvable, but they're solvable with pain. In other words, we have somehow in the system got to unfortunately endure some pain to come out better. Now, there's two ways you endure the pain. Either you do it to yourself, i.e. the government institutes austerity. It cuts government salaries. It increases taxes. It drops expenditure. It privatizes some state-owned enterprises. It just closes some state-owned enterprises. That's self-inflicted pain. If you don't inflict the pain, you will be at the pain inflicted upon you by overseas capital allocators and overseas corporations, because if you don't sort it out now, there's no more money coming in, and then eventually you end up knocking on the door of the IMF or the World Bank. Now, we're not even close to be that yet, and we can still rectify the situation ourselves. But, you know, for the first time in a new South Africa, truly tough decisions, and decisions that go against the ideology of the government, essentially, have got to be taken and have got to be implemented. Otherwise, we will just carry on, and eventually we will end up having pain inflicted upon us.
Wayne, that's a little bit of a difficult one, given the pushback that will come from the unions yes. when some of those tough decisions have to be made for the long-term economic outlook of the country. But Wayne, thank you very much for your time this evening. That's Wayne McCurry, who's a senior portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment.